appreciate him. Appreciate him. Appreciate him. Appreciate him for being above believing. Appreciate him for being above believing. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Appreciate him. Appreciate him. In the morning like this and you are alive, always remember that you are not better than those who are dead. There is nothing that makes you better than those who are dead. Hallelujah. Always appreciate God for that. And so when we say thank God, let it not be a religious thanksgiving. Let it be a thanksgiving because you have truly meditated and seen the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our prayer today is, Jesus, keep me near the cross. 205. Our prayer. Let's go now.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Be my glory, heaven.
167, so I cling to that old rugged cross. Remember, today is a communion service, and today is the day we look at that cross. Let's cling to it. Sorry, in 101, sorry, when I survey the wondrous cross, 101. That is what we are doing today in the communion service. We come to look at the cross. We have reason to come closer to the cross. It's a solemn service today. Everybody now.
When I saw him, the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gave, I count but loss. All my pride.
everybody. Wondrous love that God should love a sinner such as I. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What hymn is that? 187. Wrote my name in the book of life. The song of a believer, partakers of God's grace in this age. In this age, that's why we are here today to celebrate. Everybody.
Such love, such wondrous love.
God should love a worthless sinner like me. A great creator has me in his mind. How wonderful is love like this. That's the amazing grace. Praise the Lord. If you don't mind, I want to have enough time and take this teaching on the divine timetable to conclude it today. It's very important. Let's take time, finish it. Then at the end we can have reason to worship him the more. Pick your Bibles while we remain standing to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, let's pick a text from there. We'll try by all means, in fact, we must. Compulsory, finish that topic today. The concluding part of the divine agenda. Amen. Now, First Thessalonians, pick a text from there, what Apostle Paul said. We'll read it, the first five verses. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That is, it will come when nobody is expecting it. When the world will not be expecting it. Amen. For when they of the world shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction coming upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and because thy word is a lamp now. Revelation is the light under the pillar of fire that has shown us the way. Oh, it excites me. Hallelujah. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Praise the Lord. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. After the Lord Jesus gave the parable of the sowers. In verse 9. In verse 10, he spoke to them in parables. I like to emphasize this. There are some things here I keep repeating in emphasis. Repeating and repeating so that somebody will appreciate God's grace in this age. When I see myself explaining ordinary water baptism from the scriptures, not from somewhere else, and a doctor of divinity does not know that simple revelation, as simple as it looks. Amen. Now what excites me is that it is not even the man's fault. Hey Jesus, do you understand something? It is not even the man's fault. The mystery of it all is that man that cannot see it. It is God that has blinded his eyes. And you, that you are able to see it, it is God that has opened your eyes. So that you will understand grace and appreciate God and have reason to serve him better than any other person. loves you so much and you can't even tell why. You can't tell why. Here is Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 4, going out there in a crusade. This is a man that came to save the world. Thousands will gather to hear him, and yet he will speak in a way that they will not understand. Then why are you talking to them? Why? It is God playing out his agenda. It is God playing out his process of salvation. How he will do it, you will not understand. Now, he spoke to a big crusade. Mighty miracle signs and wonders taking place that attracted them to come. But when they came there, he had two groups of people there. He called some those that are outside and those that are within. Hey, Jesus. They are following Jesus. They are running and pursuing him. But he still considers them outside the fold. That's a serious mystery. So the disciples too were confused. Verse 9. He said unto them, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. Because it's not everyone that has the ear to hear and understand. Then they asked him, verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. So it was not only the disciples. It was not only the 12 disciples that were of the fold. Those that were with him, and they were together with those 12 disciples. So apart from those 12 disciples, there were other people, because Mary was there. Mary Magdalene was there. And other people that were following him, they were there. Amen. God calls them his elect. Okay. He said, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I like the way Matthew put it. Let's go to Matthew 13. Because Matthew has a way of emphasizing some things in details. Verse 10, Matthew 13. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And this is his reply, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given. Somebody shout, it is given. Oh, say very well. Who gave it? Who? God. Hey. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. It is not given. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But verse 11 of Mark chapter 4. Amen. This is the way he put it. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, outside, all these things are done in parables. This is the reason that seeing, they may see and not perceive. And hearing, they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time, they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. It means some people's sins should not be forgiven. The mystery of salvation. There's a way we preach this gospel, you know, and then we're talking to the sinners. Come, God loves you. God loves everybody. God loves everybody. You know, hey, this and that. Yes, God loves everybody. God does not desire the death of a sinner. But I'm telling you this, God is also not gambling when it comes to salvation. God did not desire that Esau should lose his birthright. God was not happy that Esau was going to lose his birthright. Even while he was in the womb, God knew it. God was not happy. That's why he said, Jacob I love, Esau I hate, even before they were born. So also for every religious person. There are two groups of people that come to Christ. Those who truly are coming because they want to serve Him, and those who are coming to Him just for what they will get from Him. And whatever is the purpose for coming to Christ will determine your focus on Him. It will determine your focus on Him. Two groups of people that are looking for the anointing. One is looking for the anointing to demonstrate the power. But anything beyond that, he doesn't want to know. While another one is looking for the anointing that will grant him understanding of God's word. Because he wants to live by the word. But another one, for the gain that is associated with the power, he is looking for the power. And that power is not looking for it to serve God. He's looking for power to attract the people to fulfill his own personal desires. And God knows everyone while you were in your mother's womb. God knows every one of us. And that is what determines. Somebody asked me a question on a text yesterday. Don't know if you are watching us now or wherever. Were you here? Are you here or from outside? You say, how will I know my name is written in the book of life? I say, your response to the truth. Your response to the truth. And how you live your life before God determines whether your name is in the book of life or not. Because only those whose names are in the book of life, amen. Those who have their names in the book of life, they have certain identities. And it is not because your name is written there, that's why you have that characteristic. No, but God's foreknowledge saw those characteristics in you before you were born and put your name in the book of life. Praise the Lord. By foreknowledge. I want you to note, while I'm emphasizing this, to see reason to appreciate God and not just to worship God for fear of going to hell. No, don't fear God. Don't worship God because you don't want to go to hell. If that is the kind of relationship you have, oh my. You are afraid of your father that gave birth to you. You just obey him simply because you are afraid that he will cane you, he will beat you. If that is the kind of relationship you have with your father, amen. Then when your father is not around, you will misbehave. Do you understand? No, it must not be. It must be born out of love. Why must a child love his mother? I have told you here several times that never you, I repeat, never ever grow up and turn to hate your mother. Even after you have grown up, you discover your mother hates you. Never ever. You have every reason to continue to love that woman, even if she's a witch. You did not take care of yourself when you gave birth, when he gave birth, she gave birth to you. And she did not kill you when you were powerless in her arms. Not when you grow up now, she will kill you. He said that. I hate that revelation. I hate it. It's a lie. It's just Satan coming to scatter the fabrics of family unity. Nothing like that. Yes, you could have problems. At any stage, you could be possessed. At any stage. Especially mothers. Not even fathers. Mothers. The suffering they went through in producing you. When you reflect in the past and all this, it gives you reason to love that woman no matter how bad she is now. The suffering that Jesus Christ went through to save you can never be compared with the things you have been praying for and he has not given you. So whether he gives me or not, I will love him. That God should love a sinner such as I. That while I was yet a sinner, he went to the cross on Calvary and died for me, translated me from hell to heaven, from fire to eternity. Why would I not love him? Just because I asked him for a business breakthrough, he didn't give me. I asked him for a wife, he has not given me. I asked him for a husband, he has not given me. Then you want to leave him and go to some other things. Lie. You have not caught the revelation yet. You don't know. Don't worship God because you are afraid of anything. Don't worship God to please man. Don't worship God out of fear. Worship him out of love. When you love someone, you will never like to hurt that person. Oh, keep that. But something must make you love him. It is a revelation. It's a revelation. Upon this rock of who Jesus is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Why? The revelation of who Jesus is anchors you. Nothing can shake you away from God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. There's a statement there I want to borrow from verse 8. 8, 9, 10. After the revelation of the end was given, the end of things was given to Daniel. He saw it, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, oh my God, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And this is the time of the end. This is a glorious period in the history of mankind, in the process of God's salvation. Is to seal it from the time you saw this revelation. Don't worry. Don't bother about yourself. Keep it close. Keep that revelation close. Until when? The time of the end. Verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. I want you to note. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. If you know the process to achieve this, the process to be purified. Apostle, I think it's Peter. Is it Peter or Paul that spoke about a trial of our faith being much more precious than that of gold? And the process that gold is purified for the quality of gold to be achieved. What does he go through? Fire! Fire! Oh, okay, we'll talk about that some other time. The process that God makes all of us to go through to reach perfection. The process is not easy. He tried us by fire. He said, they'll be made white. To be made white there, is to remove every stain of sin from you. The righteousness of God to be achieved in you. And tried, temptations, frustrations, everyone will be tried. And when he said this, praise the Lord, the age of martyrdom had not yet come. When he said this, amen, this was fulfilled after Christ himself resurrected after Pentecost. Then we saw the various, you know, horse riders, where we saw the white horse rider, the red horse rider, the black horse rider, and the pale horse rider. Those four horse riders, they were the storm that the Antichrist used against the church. And that is what the saints had to pass through to achieve what God was prophesying here, telling Daniel. Many shall be purified, verse 10, and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But, everybody, shall we go? But the wise shall understand. The wise shall understand. And the only thing that makes you wise is revelation. Nothing more. It's revelation that makes you wise. That's why in verse 18 of Revelation chapter 13, when he began to give the revelation of, the exposition of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, then in verse 18 he said, here is wisdom. If you want to know who the Antichrist is, this is the number of his name. And the number is 666. Here is wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. That number the number of the man. The man, there is a number you can use to identify him. And he said, here is wisdom. It is the number of a man. And the number is 666. Only the wise will understand that. Only the wise. And people are thinking that people are going to be given a mark on their body. 666. 666 is the identification of the man. Amen. It's the identification of the very, very Antichrist. Use 666. And know the man. And today we know the man. Can the wise clap their hands for Jesus? The wise, clap your hands for Jesus. It's very exciting to know it. To know that I know what other people don't know, and it's not because I went to school to know it. Amen. That's why when it is time to praise Him, some of us praise Him from our hearts. While some are praising Him grudgingly. I've seen it several times. I'm standing in front of you and they see everybody. Some worship from their heart. Some are busy just entertaining themselves. They're worshiping in the flesh. Because they love music. Worshiping in the flesh. While you see some, they are lost. They are gone. Appreciating God. For who He has been to him. The one thing I worship Him for is that He did not make me just a religious Christian. Kai. I'm not going to church on Sunday because today is Sunday. No. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people are not in church today. If they tell you the reason that they are not in church, You just laugh. Whereas some, we could not wait for day to break. In fact, there are some that got ready for service today since yesterday. And it is, there are some that will wake up this morning and grudgingly, joy. 9, they will come stay there. 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. Today. Okay, then they want encouragement. They will call, hello, okay. If they go to church today, say, I bet if he branch carry me, he's hoping that he will not branch. So that if he doesn't come, okay, now you make me no come church. You tell me, make a wait, you no come. Find one reason or the other. And that is also an evidence you don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you. When you have the Holy Ghost in you, amen, the best place you will always find yourself is the presence of God. That is when the thing that is in you begin to bubble. But when you find it difficult to go to church, check the spirit that is in you. Because I know that some people here, they will be praying, oh Lord, today, oh Lord, let this service today communion finish before 5 o'clock. Why? Final match now today. World Cup. Yes. They have prepared for this match. They have serviced their generator yesterday. They have extra fuel, extra plug for that generator. In case light goes off. And I'm not saying that you have sinned by watching football. But I'm saying there is time for everything. The seriousness you give to that football, you should also give it to the things of the Spirit. Then I will know you are rational. But it cannot be so much in the flesh until once it comes to the things of the Spirit, you get weak. But the things that gratify the flesh, you do everything to be there. Haba! Amen. Examine yourself if you be in the faith. And so, in this age, he said the wise will understand, and it's based on a revelation. So, go back and look at all the messages that we have preached on the divine agenda, the various parts, and let us try to conclude it. We saw that the gospel was meant for the Jews in the process of redemption, but because God intended from the foundation of the world to save both the Jews and the Gentiles. We saw the scriptures, and he decided by the way of the cross to bring everyone in the world unto one fold. But he did it this way. He deliberately blinded the Jews. Amen. So that because they rejected him, they rejected salvation, and he decided to turn to the Gentiles. And we looked at all the stories in the Old Testament that foreshadowed this very plan of God. He saw it in advance. And we saw that they rejected him, so he had to turn to the Gentiles. And we also saw how he came to the Gentiles. He demonstrated it by Jacob blessing the two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, the children of Joseph in Egypt in his old age, and how instead of placing his right hand on the senior who was by his right hand placed there by Joseph, the hand crossed to the junior and the left hand, less authority, crossed to the junior, not to the senior. So that he was speaking prophetically there that by the way of the cross, salvation will leave Israel and come to the Gentiles. And then he said, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. That second one, the last, is we, you and I, the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And how we will go in the rapture before the Jews will join us. Amen. And we saw that Israel, God came to Daniel, a type of the bride of Jesus Christ, in Daniel chapter 9, and he gave him that divine timetable known as the 70 weeks of Daniel. And how he told him 70 weeks there is 490 years. Each week is 7 years. We proved it in the scripture. So we have 7 times 70. Gives us, he gave them a program that will last 490 years. And he spoke of the time that the program will start, when the commandment will be given for them to go and rebuild that city. He said that count from that time. Count from that time, and he calculated 69 weeks. 483 years from the time the commandment will go forth, the Messiah will be cut off. And exactly 445 BC, calculated, that is when the commandment was given, calculated to 8033 when he was cut off. Exactly 483. Jesus Christ was killed. But he was given 490 years program. But when Christ was rejected by the Jews, I am summarizing. I went in details in the past sermons. When Christ was rejected, then he suspended dealing with the Jews. He hand that 1 week, the 70th week, or the last 7 years, to complete the 490 years. Amen. See, in my former church, I love to worship, but I'm telling you, what used to get me in the spirit, and I feel anointing, is the revelation of the word. I'm telling you this thing. I could just pack materials and go to the camp. Stay there for 1 week. not doing anything but just reading and studying. When at the thing they enter, like the prophets, they enter spirit. Now so my own they enter. It keeps me excited. I'm telling you. Some people may not be walked up here because we have not danced yet. We will dance. But I'm telling you, this is where the excitement is. This is where the excitement is. And I've told you that what I'm teaching is not in any bookshop. It is the opening of the word through the voice of the seventh angel. And William Branham did not also teach this to these details. But remember that the entire message is a spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. It's a spirit of revelation. Because we are supposed, you know, Apostle Paul says that, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Then he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. So that you understand, I am saying something now and I expect serious attention. That is what differentiates us from the denominations. What we know. It is what we know. There are people that have been here and they left here to start their churches. And when you go to see what they are doing there, you just wonder whether true they were in this ministry. Whether true they were in this ministry. Revelation. One minister left this church and started his ministry and took our One Your Pastor tract and then went and changed a particular paragraph there concerning tithe. Where we say it is wrong for a minister to take the tithe and say he's the pastor and all the tithe of the ministry belong to him, like many enter-ministry believers do. I say it is wrong. He removed that paragraph and put there that tithe of every ministry belong to the pastor. And some of his members came across the original One Your Pastor tract. Amen. Instead of them to go and write their own, they are coming to copy our own and just put their own address there. Well, there's nothing bad about it. If you can defend it, go ahead. It's not patented. And then before you know what, when they saw it now, the elders of the church, they call him for a meeting. Right assembly say like this, now the same track. Why you change them like this? Now they fight where they are now. As they talk, so now police, they settle them now. And they pass through this ministry. That's why I said, listen, you don't listen, you won't know what we stand for. You know why God brought you to pass through this ministry. You know. Don't be so hungry until you forget the process of salvation. Looking for food to eat. And it's still lack of revelation for you to ever think that you will serve God and He will leave you to be hungry. Nobody has served God faithfully and regretted it. There will be moment of trial. But at the end, you will come out as gold. Precious again. Hallelujah. One of these days, we shall stand here and give testimony how we overcome. Amen. So listen carefully, church. It's not intellectualism. This is revelation. Everything I tell you is here in the Bible. But God juggle it there, so that only Him can line them up for you. And in this age, the last church age, He's not reserving anything for another age. Therefore, everything that concerns the mystery for salvation, He has revealed it to His bride. Can we clap our hands for our God now? Hallelujah. Daniel is a type of the bride. And he was given a timetable. And while God was revealing all this to him, the other Jews in the Babylonian captivity, who were in those 70 years of captivity before Daniel realized that they will not be here forever and decided, as we saw in Daniel chapter 9, to understand by the books how long they will stay. And by the time he found that out, he discovered that out of the 70 years period that sent them to that captivity, they had only 2 more years. They had spent 68 years. And then he went into prayer before the angel came with the divine timetable. Hallelujah. That stated the 6 things that will happen if you read it from verse 26, 27 of Daniel chapter 9. And by the time that the gospel, amen, they rejected the gospel by crucifying Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, the gospel came to the Gentiles. This is how we received salvation, and the God of Israel has become our God. And not just our God. We are called dogs. Not just that, but we have become his bride, his queen. After Vashti was rejected. King Ahasuerus was rejected Vashti and a worthless slave in Babylon, Esther. From a slave, she became a queen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Gentile dogs, we have become the queen of Jesus Christ. The bride of Jesus Christ. So everything that pertains to salvation, he, God, has exposed it to us. Take note, in Romans chapter 11. Amen. Verse 25 and verse 26. Even up to verse 27 or 29, if we can get there. For I will not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Because it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That is the mystery. Blindness in part is happened to Israel. Until when? Until when? They will remain blind until the last elect member of the bride comes into the kingdom. And how will you come into the kingdom? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one spirit are we baptized into the body. Till the last member, whose name is written in the book of life, receives the Holy Ghost. The fullness of the Gentiles becoming. So he emphasized again in verse 26. And so, all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. This is what he said. As concerning the gospel, the good news, their enemies, for your sakes, for our sake. It's for our sake. But as touching election, they are beloved. For the Father's sake, the Father there is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For his covenant with them, Israel remain his own forever. But for the sake of the gospel, they rejected the gospel, so he is fighting with them now. And using that period of fighting with them to get us into it. The Bible said to provoke them to jealousy. To provoke them to jealousy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Apostle Paul said it in several places that we should not make it look as if God has forgotten Israel forever. He has not forgotten Israel forever. And that is the timetable. He has a timetable that he is following. So the fullness of the Gentiles will end with the second coming of Christ. It will end with the second coming of Christ, which is what we are expecting now. The program to take us into it ends with the rapture. After the rapture, no more salvation for the Gentiles. After that, it will turn to Israel. Why? Throughout the 69 weeks, 487 years, 83 years, he was dealing with the Jews. They rejected him. In 1833, they crucified Jesus Christ. And he turned to us. How many more weeks left to complete the 70 weeks, 1 week. He suspended it, as I've said before, that period between the 69th week and the 70th week. That period, that gap that he suspended, is the Gentile age, church age. That is the period he was dealing with the Gentiles. After he has concluded with the Gentiles and taken us home, he will then come and reveal himself again to the Jews for to complete the remaining 7 years or 1 week. For now, they are suspended as a nation. Here and here, God's own elect to fulfill his purpose among the Jews, they are getting saved here and here. I've seen a man from America that went to conduct a crusade in Israel, in a meeting in Israel. And he was rejoicing because he made an altar call and 15 Jews came out to give their lives to Christ. Well, to him, he is beginning to think that that means the time for them to come in has come. And he's encouraging everybody, all of us, go there, go there, go there, go to Israel, go to Israel. I wish I had his phone number to call him. I was watching him on the television. As a time, he will not go to them as a nation. Just one, here and here, here and here, here and here. He'll pick them. God called them his elect. But concerning the revival for the nation of Israel, it will not take place until we are gone. But there is a stage that he will come in. For now, this is the timetable. For the Gentiles, remember, he has suspended Israel. So the program now continues with the Gentiles. So, he breaks it down into 7 church ages. Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3. Those 7 churches listed there. From Ephesus to Laodicea. 7 of them there. And each of them had an angel. And we try to let you know the mystery. That is what is confusing the people till now. That every church age, out of the 7 church ages, every church age had a messenger. A star messenger. A man that God used to hold the light for that age. And others followed. There was a light bearer for every age. Amen. They had a voice. They had a message for that age. And all the elect, because when there is a movement, amen, it is always a mixed multitude. But God knows those that are his own. Amen. There is a deep calling to the deep. There is a deep to respond. Amen. There are people he had in that age. In his mind. Written in the book of life. Written for that age. They are the only ones that will catch it. But others too will follow. We are coming to church today now. There are some people that follow you to church. I can follow you, God, at your church. Your religion. In fact, to them, it's, you know, to please you, to make you happy that they are going to your church. And you too, there are 2 reasons why you are sometimes happy. Number one, you want to boast with your church that we are the spiritual church. Come and see something. While another one is happy that, Lord, as he's coming, may God arrest him to see what I have seen. Okay? Now, but they followed you as a social obligation. You know, sir, I invite you to come my own that time you come. Make me say, follow you, go your own. And as they are sitting down here, they are saying, it's my own, I took the tail. By now, we don't hold our third service to our church. Which time would I be close? Then some will come here now. By the time they see the way the prophecies are going, they say, Kai, if I stay for this church, if to stay at this church I did, the thing will kill my mama, if I not kill him, we for see him. From now on, now here I go there. You understand what I mean? Praise the Lord. So this is a hiding place for protection from witches and wizards. Anything where they talk here, now you sabi, oh, now during prayer, when you say bring mirror, you will bring a big standing mirror. Bring padlock, you will bring 50 padlocks. Bring this one. Anything you say do, he has the phone numbers of all the prophets. So those ones, they are mixed multitude. But the foundation of God standeth having this seed. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He added, let them that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Listen, praise the Lord. The rapture has started. According to the divine timetable, when the rapture will strike, this is how it will happen. If you are listening to me for the first time, we keep saying it in this minute, repeating it, so that anybody that may be hearing it for the first time, on air, through our broadcast, through our pamphlets, our tapes, anywhere, or you are here even today now, listen, the rapture will not take place like you were taught in your denomination. Not like that. Amen. Somebody send me a text. Is it not pastor, is it not sacrilegious for you to say that it was fornication that took place in the Garden of Eden? And what comes to my mind is, the one you believe is the one that one snake tied around one stick and then was offering one naked woman apple in the mouth. That's the one you believe, Abby. Amen. He says sacrilegious. It's not sacrilegious. It's revelation. It's revelation. The rapture will not take place with a confusion anywhere. There will be no confusion. He will come as a thief in the night. By the time you wake up, if a thief visits you, by the time you wake up, your property don't disappear. One of these days, the properties of God on this earth will disappear. Like a thief in the night. And the preparation for the disappearance is on now. It's on now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. This is the process of the rapture. He dropped it there and did not explain anything beyond that. Jesus Christ dropped Matthew 28, verse 19. He did not explain. Go and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He left it there. See confusion on that verse 19 alone. The same thing now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. What did he say? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen. So what is the process? The Lord himself will descend with a shout. It is not that one day the cloud will open and then Jesus will stand up there in the sky. Papa, 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 papa. Oh, somebody, tell your neighbor, it is a mystery. Tell another neighbor, it is a mystery, it is a mystery, it is a mystery. Oh, if not for this message, God attributes, we are manifested to his bride in this last age. We have called on revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up our lives. And to victory is power. We are chained down in the past. So jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our Lord, who's the original life. Hallelujah! We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the scriptures say. Our names are sealed with him, We are the Word made flesh today. This is
what the Scripture says. Our names are singing, making a prophet without thee. Yes, we are anointed and inspired.
Bible school. Inspiration. Yes, we are inspired by our God. We are called unto adoption,
to authority above. In the days we wait and join up for translation in this time. Generation be over.
He said, this is how you do it. Take note. He said, take note. That verse is loaded. Number one, he said, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. It is the Lord himself. Oh. It is the Lord himself. Oh. It's not with Abraham. Oh. It's not a man, no. He will descend with a shout. That shout is a message. Hallelujah. What is the message? The message is, come out of Babylon. Listen, church. The entire message. Listen, and I hope you will understand what I mean. The entire message. Our evangelical field. It's not Pia Palos. Our evangelical field is warn your pastor. Go to the churches. Go to Babylon. Go to all those denominations. And give them the message. The message is loud and clear. Come out of Babylon. Come out of there. A sister was telling me, I think her name is Neka. One of these sisters always have me ask questions like anything. See her here. He said, No, not be you. No, one sister that came from MFM. You came to see me on Sunday, on Tuesday. The sister said, what of this scripture that says, the time will come when seven women will hold onto one man. What scripture is that? Hallelujah. Somewhere in Isaiah chapter 4. Seven women will hold onto one man. And but then we say, we will eat our bread. We will take care of ourselves. That emphasis, we will eat our bread. Let us only bear your name. The name of that man. And some people are thinking that because there will be the population of women will be more than men, So there will be so much polygamy everywhere. That's where some pastors are teaching. It is not so. Those women, they are denominational churches. Denominational churches that will say, hold on to Jesus. We just want to be called Christians. We will bear your name, but we will serve you. We will serve you with our own doctrines. We will eat our own food. Hallelujah. We will eat our own food, but we only want to bear your name. But Jesus Christ is saying, I don't know whether that sister is here today. When I finish, are you there? Stand up now if you are here. Stand up, let me see you. Let me see you. Is the sister here? The sister that asked me that question, I think MF from Oridim you came from. Hey, but the songwriter says, Jesus has a table spread. We are the saints of God, I pray.
To your chosen people, come and dance. Then the Father has his land, bread of fish upon the field. Don't be satisfied or hungry all the time.
For the rapture. Number one is the shout. Number two is the voice of the archangel. And number three is the trump of God. When these three stages are fulfilled, the rapture will strike. And the rapture has begun with the shout. If you don't hear the shout and respond rightly, you can never be partaker of the second stage. This is the time of the shout. It is the message. Through the voice of the seventh angel, the angel to the last church age known as the Laodicea church age. Revelation chapter 3. Praise the Lord. That is the mystery. The devil has tried to fight the entire message. Something happened and the hair of Samson was cut off. He became powerless and the Philistines were feasting. But unknown to them, while in the prison, the hair began to grow again. This is the day of the latter rain. God is moving in his power again by the anointing Jesus. And the latter rain is not power to cast out devils. The latter rain is not power to heal the sick. It's more than that. It's the anointing that establishes the believer. Positioning you for home going. That is the latter rain. It's a revelatory rain. The shout. That is what is on now in the agenda of God. If you're a believer of the ministry of William Branham, you have begun the rapture. Or at least you have seen the rapture. Because I say when you hear the shout, there is a right response and there is a wrong response. For as many that will respond rightly, you are already in the rapture. What happened in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the foolish and wise virgins? He said, at midnight, because they all slept while the bridegroom tarried. He has tarried all these years, and the condition of a slumbering has come upon the church. Until sometime in 1933, God decided to wake up all the virgins again. Through the ministry of William Branham, he said, at midnight, there was a cry made. Jesus said, call it cry. Apostle Paul called it shout. Behold, that is the message. The bridegroom coming. It is a message pointing the people, not to these worldly things, but pointing the people to home going. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. That is the midnight cry. And that ministry is fulfilled in the ministry of William Marion Branham. The shout. And he said, all the virgins arose. And they picked their lamps, the word, the Bible, the word, with oil in the lamp. Without oil, the lamp can never shine. The oil there is the Holy Ghost. They trim their lamp. There is trimming revelation. Removing all the errors that the denomination have brought into the gospel. Trim the lamp. Water baptism. Trim the correct revelation. Trim the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Trim what is, come back to the apostolic doctrines. Come back to genuine love among the brethren. Come back to true holiness in the church again. The word has entered the church. And the church has become worldly. Trim your lamp. But a part of those virgins did not trim their lamp. Did not have enough oil. And because you don't have enough oil, praise the Lord. Amen. You see the condition of the intermittent believers all around. The emphasis is the oil. Without oil, if you are traveling, amen, if you are traveling, and you know where you are going, there will be no fuel stations there. Every true, correct driver that knows the road, he will have extra jerrycan of oil. Oh, yes. You know that this journey is dependent upon how many, you know, the oil that you have, the fuel you have in that vehicle. And this journey from earth to glory is determined by the Holy Ghost that you have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, like I'm saying, if you have not heard that shout, the message, and come out of the denomination. And when I say come out of the denomination, I am not just talking about changing the address of your church. Because you, first and foremost, remember that the mark of the beast, first and foremost, is given where? In the forehead and then in the right hand. Why? It's talking about the forehead there. It's about how you receive God. How you the type of revelation. How you receive what you know. What you believe. The stop-starting belief inside you. And they are the ones, no matter what you tell them, I will die Catholic. Mother Mary. We are the first church. Those are the things they stop in their head. We are the first church. Holy Father. We are the first. We are the first. We are the first. But you know it's a lie. The first church that God inaugurated on earth here happened at the upper room. That's where the church began. It began in Jerusalem, not in Rome. Peter was a Jew, not a Gentile. And the messenger to the Gentiles was not Peter. It was Paul. Amen. And if you are going to raise any cathedral in memory of any disciple, he should be St. Paul Cathedral among the Gentiles. Not St. Peter. Peter himself said it, that he is, his ministry is to the circumcision, the Jews. Apostle Paul is to the Gentiles. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And there is nowhere in history recorded that Peter ever went to Rome. It's Paul that went there. Amen. And so you have put something on your head. And you may be having that kind of thing on your head. The fact that you have left your denomination has not removed it from your head. Before you change your address, it must first leave your head. If not, when you leave that place and you go and start your church, it will be the same. You will go with some denominational hangover. No, you must not come. See, when Apostle Paul, who was, you know, who excelled in the religion of the Pharisees, when he came to the true knowledge of grace, everything he had, he threw them away. From the Pharisees, threw them away. So don't come into the message with any denominational hangover. The things that you do, the things that you teach, even how you organize your church, you should make sure that it reflects the scripture as much as we can. But listen, church. So now the shout is the next item in the agenda which we are fulfilling now. If you have left the denomination. Somebody called me and said, we have left the denomination, so where do we go? Even that question is a denominational question. You are always looking for a place to go. What did the Bible say? Where two or three are gathered in my name. That is the church. So when people think that it is not a church until you have some structures on ground. The musicians are there. Ordained pastors. Specially built altar. Then we have a hall. Beautified hall. And then big signboard. And then mommy and daddy picture superimposed in front there. So that you will know who owns the church. And then once you do that, then you go and change your clothes from coat to suit. Then you go to some Bible college so that when you are preaching, you can make reference to the time you were in the school of theology. So that the people listening to you will know that you go school where. You know what you are talking. Then church has started. Nothing like that. You don't know where to go. You are to go to Jesus. Don't go to any church. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. See, if it is Jesus, you left your home to come here today, you will be better blessed than when you left your house to come to Pride Assembly. Do you understand what I mean? No, you don't understand. Your response, let me know. I don't know. Do we need interpreter? It's a bit interpretable. The people are not answering. See, get a relationship with God. We are two or three are gathered in Cameroon, Bamenda. Where's that country? That city. Bamenda, the brethren that came. Every service, our life service, they gather in a brother's house. They left the church. The brother, the church he left, he is the one that built it for them. But when he came across this message through our broadcast, he tried to put it across to them. See. They were resisting it. And then, if you will go, he became an online member. Before you know what, in his compound, he said, they were so engrossed in honor of one of our Tuesday service. Everybody will gather in the compound. Then don't they rent a seat. Now here in wife start up. Then don't they rent seat. We are the carcasses. They are the eagles we gather. And before you know what, they were so engrossed until a thief know that when these people are in their online service, they know they pay attention to anything else. And while they were there watching, the thief came to steal their Okada, their motorbike, outside, while they were all gathering inside, holding their water and praying. But as God will have it, the owner of the machine, the Lord told him, look outside. He had a voice that told him, look outside. And he looked, and he noticed movement. He opened the door. The man let the carry the machine go. Before he raised alarm, the man was arrested. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm only trying to tell you how God works. See, get connected to God first before you look for any touch. So I have left. Where do I go? That is a product of the shout. That is the question everyone that meets with this message, that is the question you will ask. Okay, what next? We have had the message. Where do I go? What do I do? Where? That question must come. But the reason why it comes is there is nowhere you can go and worship. Isaiah 28. All tables are full of vomit and there is no place clean. The Bible says so. For the eagles, nowhere to feed on. Well, this ministry started in an office with four people clapping hands. Even our family refused to join us. We said, go anywhere when I want to go. Here, we, now here, this message, now we will take that. Amen. When something happened in our former church, there was no seat. If you come and join us, we shall ask you. It was in a backyard, no signboard. How did you know we are here? Visit us. Some people will say it was in a dream. I saw the address. Some people will say from outside we had the people, they clap hand, now we branch. In the message, we know how to make noise. We didn't make noise, so that's why God gave us a place of worship for backyard. Where we can make all the noise we want to make here and will not disturb anybody. Amen. So don't go and sit down and begin to plan how to start church. Church is not a business that you sit down and plan. People who want to set up business companies called church, they are the ones that sit down and look for a brother. Me and you will start. You will be my sister. You will be the prophet. Then you will be the teacher. Then you will be the... So let's come together. Eh? Somebody left this church. I was telling some minister, I wanted to go and start his own. I was asking yesterday. I'm not hearing about him again. My brother there. Yesterday I got to know that he will approach some people. Come, I'll pay your house rent. I will give you allowance every month. Come and the brother say, brother, this is a distraction. You want to distract me, please? This is a distraction. Amen. Somebody wants to go to heaven. He's looking for a way to establish himself. You are saying, come, let's go and start ministry. There are some people that were sitting down here shouting, amen, amen. They used to sit in front here. They are no more here. Amen. Where are they? Where they are, lets you know how they understood what we were saying here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I must say this for the record. Because everything we say here, people hear it outside. I told you about somebody. You know, when you ministers, you want to start a ministry. If God call you, why not wait on the Lord? Eh? People are looking for some brethren somewhere in Surulere, Aguda here. They decided to come together. And then they were looking for pastor. They came here. They came to meet me some few years back. That they wonder if I can give them somebody. I said, where are you located? They said, Aguda here. Aguda, this place, not the same place now. Why do you have to gather there again? So I told them, I said, well, you are free. Go into the church. Any minister you meet that is ready to go with you, let him follow you. But for me to call somebody and give you, I said, not be me call the person. So I cannot tell the person, say, may he follow you. But you are free. Go and look for whosoever. Well, they couldn't get anybody here. One of those noisemakers that left here then went out now. They now called him to come and pastor them. And so he is the one now that when he see the church, don't begin grow small, small. Then his revelation is changing, only he will chop the tithe. Now, so they had a meeting. Why this one like this? Why this one like this? Then they went to John Ministry, where he associates with. And they advised him, you see, you are taking it easy with these people. That is why they are coming to challenge you. Go and dissolve the deacon board, the elders council, dissolve all of them, and appoint a new one. The man came and said, because the people took the matter to their headquarters at Shomolu. And instead of them to settle them, they call him behind and began to tell him, now this nonsense, when Moses, they teach you that they don't hear. That's why they want to trouble you now. Go and dissolve it. He came on a Sunday and dissolved everything. How can you dissolve the people that appointed you? So they told him, what did they wrong with this man, sir? You dissolve us? When we call you, make you call? So they went to the police. See this man, now we start this church. Now we go call and say, make you call the priest for us. Now you won't come take over the church. So police, I heard last week, say, you should leave them. Now you come meet them there. Don't come and scatter their church. Leave them and go. What a shame for somebody who claims to be in the message. You know now why they are in the message. Praise the Lord. Why I'm saying this is, I say your response matters. The response will position you. Until there is nobody that is a believer with you, you will remain the only church member in that place, fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost until the rapture comes. Thank God. God has made it possible for us to have a television station. Broadcasting live, both in the internet, live. What you are watching now, they are watching it on the internet, all over the world also. So, you cannot be desolate of fellowship. You can fellowship with us. On Friday, I received two Fridays ago, somebody sent me a text, I don't know, maybe Cameroon or so, that he was thanking the Lord, watching us like this and joining us. He said he received the Holy Ghost in his sitting room. In his sitting room, he received the Holy Ghost. He said he found himself all through the night. He was slain. I was just speaking in tongues for the first time all night. So distance is not a barrier. I'll just connect. Our God is omnipresent. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, after the shout, the next stage, after you have come out, is now, and that is the next stage we are waiting for. The next stage is, remember, it's an agenda, so I'm giving you the stage by stage now. The next stage is the voice of the archangel. That is, listen, church, that is, we are talking about the revelation that God gave us in this age. We have, remember that in Revelation chapter 6, we have seven seals. In Revelation chapter 5, the book that was sealed from within and without with seven seals. And Apostle John, the angel, opened it and he saw, and we have treated all that, the opening of the seals. But watch it here. The seals are not fulfilled in that chronology like that. One, then two, then three, then four, then five. By the time we come to seal number six is fulfilled after seal number seven is fulfilled. Now what is seal number seven? Seal number seven, when the seal was opened, there was silence in heaven. Hallelujah. And that is in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. Praise God. You know, this sister said the reason why she come here, come make this place her church. Now, because where she did before, they know they go near the book of Revelation. In her church, they know teach rich book of Revelation. And it's one of the big, big denominations. So, you have opportunity now to hear something. The reason is it is not given to them to teach it. And God decided to raise a man that didn't go to Bible school now to let you know it. And I didn't know it from a man that went to Bible school too. Listen, church. Now, Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. There was silence, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Half an hour. Silence. Seal 1 to 6 opened, there were activities. But when it came to seal 7, why? Seal 7 is open. The silence there is because of something that called for that silence. How do I know? Because certainly for the past 2,000 years, Christ has been sitting on the mercy seat, interceding until the last elect comes in. By the time he stands up, amen. Somebody who has been sitting like that for the past 2,000 years, it calls the whole attention of heaven. What is he about to do? He stands up. Praise the Lord. That is why Revelation chapter 8, take note of this. Revelation chapter 8 verse 1, the seventh seal, is tied to Revelation chapter 10, the first six verses there. He stands up from Revelation chapter 8 verse 1. That is where he stands up. Corroborated in Luke chapter 13 verse 24. Let's read it. This is the way Christ himself put it. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeyed towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gates. For many, I say unto you, we seek to enter in and shall not be able. See where my emphasis in verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand with them and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. He rises up from the mercy seat. That rising up that Jesus Christ was referring to is in Revelation chapter 10. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 10. For people like Neka to catch it. They come and fire me with a question now. Chapter 10. The first six verses there. And I saw another mighty angel came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his right and in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I had, and which I saw, stand upon the sea, and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. This angel is the same angel, the same Christ that has been sitting at the mercy seat. That description of that mighty angel is Christ. That is why he says he lifts up the book in his hand and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that there should be time no longer. Salvation is over. We cry like a lion roaring. That is the second stage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. After the shout, the voice of the archangel. That archangel is another word, the mighty angel in Revelation chapter 10. Where we read now. He stands up and shouts. The next stage we are waiting for now is what the seven thunders will utter. Remember, nobody knows what it is. John heard what they were saying, so only John knew what they said. He was about to write, and the angel told him, don't write it. Seal those things that the thunders uttered. It is another message. God is going to raise men on earth here for the next move. The voice of the seven thunders that will sound, that is the next stage. Then, after the sound, amen. Hallelujah. They are saying something that gives you rapturing faith. For now, the shout does not give you rapturing faith. The shout enables you to come and take position spiritually to receive the instruction that will give you rapturing faith. Rapturing faith is a faith you will have by a revelation you have that any other thing around you, you throw it away. You are ready for homegoing because it is expected, like William Branham said, that what they will say will enable us to know the wedding day. We will know the new name that Jesus Christ is coming with. We will know how we will go. We will know. We will know. That is why it must be secret. Jesus said, the day and the hour, no man knows, not even the Son knows. It's in the hand of God alone. He has sealed it until the appropriate time. We are looking at the divine agenda. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, right now, go ahead. Plan your life. Build your houses. Look for a job. Go to school. Do whatever you want to do. Amen. But don't lose sight of the message. It positions you because soon, and I believe it will be any time from now. Hallelujah. The signs everywhere. Around us, in the air, the starless sky, everywhere pointing that the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. It's coming soon. Maranatha. He is coming soon. Sooner than we have ever imagined. And the aim of the divine timetable is for us to know how soon? How soon? So that you take your eternal destination more seriously than we see some up till now. I was explaining something to one of my daughters at home yesterday. She asked me a very interesting question. Allow me to mention it here also. Where she said, Daddy, I want to ask something. That she's afraid that one day she will meet God. And God will ask her the gift of hair that God gave you. What did you do to that hair to improve it? Because we have told them to leave the hair natural. And she feels that the hair could be more beautiful if you touch it here and here, you know. And that God gave you the hair. Well, I answered her. To start with, if you know the meaning of a gift, the African woman has other gifts, but she does not have the gift of hair. The people that have the gift of hair now, they are Indians and the Asians. But for the African woman, you don't have the gift of hair. What you have the gift is a rubber body. You have good hips. That is what Oyibo envy you for. You have good hips. That's the gift. You don't have a gift of hair. But I quickly say, the reason why you ask that question is simple. Because we had just finished talking with her, and she was giving me the testimony of a woman pastor that she was close to, that I personally know also. We knew ourselves before she got converted, and I knew how she lived a rough life, very rough life. I knew her personally. You know what I mean? I knew her personally. Now, she got born again. She's with a mountain of fire. She's going from place to place. They are sending her. She's planting churches. And she was telling me that that woman even has no time to make her hair. That's a woman that lived all her life in America and schooled there up to her master's degree before she came to Nigeria. She's married with children. Pretty woman. Yet, she has no time since she gave her life to Christ. We just finished talking about that. And now, my young daughter there at home, she's telling me that that woman has no time. If you say, Mommy, let's make your hair. She will say, come, how long will I sit down here? Because we redeem the time, for the days are evil. Any time I have, I want to study. Okay, you'll be walking on my hair. I hope it will not disturb. Can I read? Can I be reading my Bible while you are doing it? How long? I don't have time. Make her not sit down. I say, they make hair. Now, I told her, I said, I don't know how I can demonstrate this thing I showed her. Now we have what I call the borderline Christians. Now, take this as the borderline between the world and Christianity. Now this is the line that divides the world from the Christians. And we are not to love the world. For the love of the world is enmity with God. Praise the Lord. Now watch it. Some of us are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Instead of us to distance ourselves from the world, here is where we are, very close to the borderline. Do you understand? They are very close to the borderline. So everything happening over there, you didn't see them. But you're a Christian now, you want to cross, you will come back. Then you will look at them and begin to compare yourself with them. But if you are far, will you see what is happening there? Now, it's both ways also. There are people that are in the world, but they are also borderline. They are the ones that seek people going to church. They are happy, they hear testimony that they too will follow and go. Small time they don't come back. Borderline unbelievers. If you're an unbeliever, be an unbeliever now. If you're a Christian, be a Christian now. Now, this young girl is a borderline believer. That is why she's seeing her hair. She's comparing her hair with those Hollywood movie actors. We people in the world, we are not to conform to the world. But be you transformed. You are supposed to be transformed. By the renewing of your mind. That's what the Bible says. Kick out all these things. Nobody says you should leave your hair to be smelly. Wash your hair as you wash your body. Take care of your hair. But don't dress like the world. I reminded her again. I preached a message. The beauty of holiness. What is the attraction in holiness? The beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness is, Christ is referred to as the lily of the valley. Why is it described as the lily of the valley? Because the lily is grown in a valley where, you know, a lot of mud is under. A lot of dirt is under. Yet that flower, it grows from that muddy ground. When you look at it, it is admirable. Now, what gives this attraction? The attraction there is where it is growing and showing its beauty despite the things that are under. That is the beauty of holiness. That you are in this world and you have not allowed the world to contaminate you. That is the beauty of holiness. That is what makes us attractive. That you are walking in the world, but you don't allow the world to contaminate you. You are in that town meeting, but you never follow them to do what they are doing. You are in a secondary school, you are in a university, but you don't follow them to do what they are doing. Anywhere you are, you do something that stands you up. When a Christian stands, if you are going anywhere, do something deliberate that will make you look different from where you are going. Do it deliberately. So anywhere you go, they will know where you belong, who you are, by just looking at you. Forget this thing that Jeremy and you we saw here yesterday. How I felt, I was so ashamed yesterday. The wedding that took place here. I don't know how many of you saw the bridal train. And all the bridal train members, those young guys, they are all members of this church. If you saw the high heel that they wore, oh my. And they were all walking like antelopes. I'm going. So shame on all of you. You don't know it. Oh, Pastor Thomas, you will change this nonsense. Drive all of them to get out of this place. Don't allow them to come for that wedding. Now, the reason is this. Now, see, they are the borderline Christians. Now, you see, they forgot that once it is a wedding, where unbelievers are going to come. That it is a time for you now to show them who you are by the way you will appear. Instead, they want to dress like they go to other weddings outside and they see how then they dress there. They carve their own dress like those unbelievers that do. And what is it? Now wedding. You are a borderline Christian. Praise the Lord. If I were a single brother, none of you would be attracted to me. None. Never. Because that is evidence. The world is in you. Just looking for opportunity for it to come out. Anybody looking for a Christian, it's not during church service like this to look for them. Go outside. Go in there in school. Visit them in school, surprisingly. See how they live there. That's when you will know who they are, how they are. All these ones that came out yesterday, you are not converted. Anything, I saw you here. All your dresses were above your knees. All of you. And you all wore one type of color high heel. Very high. Some of them don't even sabi waka with them. They don't waka, they stumble, they go like that. Shame on all of you. Praise the Lord. Now what are they seeing? How they preach? I saw that one yesterday. I thank God that I remember that now. They didn't vex me. Some of them have spent 10 years in this church. I saw them. All of them here. So who are you? What do you believe? How do you demonstrate what you believe? The seven thunders will sound. And it will sound very soon. The seven thunders gives you rapturing faith. You'll be so much heavenly minded because of a revelation you know that the whole world will just seem very, very worthless to you. Like a girl in her father's house waiting for her wedding day. The closer the wedding date is, and the date is fixed, her mind is no longer in her father's house. That is a rapturing faith. That is a rapturing faith. She does not struggle for room, for bed, anymore with other children at home. She knows she's leaving all that. The date has been fixed. That is what is achieved by the seven thunder message. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. After that, we are now positioned for the John ministry. The John ministry comes only after the seven thunders have sounded. And once the seven thunders sounds, no more salvation. Anybody that is not saved at that time. That is why Luke chapter 13, where I read, is saying, when once the master stands up and shuts the door. Which door? The door of salvation is closed. Then you begin to stand outside and looking for salvation, you will no longer be saved. He closes the door. The next move now is only going to work with those who will be going in the rapture. That takes you to the John ministry from verse 8. John, Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. So by the time, take note of this. I know why I've been emphasizing this, particularly the ministers you are hearing, Pastor John Paul and Pastor Francis, Pastor Thomas, Evangelist Obina and Evangelist Festus. You will stand to teach this same thing I am saying now. Listen, the John ministry starts only after the thunders have sounded. And by the time John ministry is sounding, no more salvation. That's why two things are going on now within the intermessage circle. One group said the thunder has sounded. The evidence that they are wrong is because people are still receiving the Holy Ghost now. And according to them, the seventh thunder started sounding. The seventh thunder started sounding in 1964. So I wouldn't have been saved. Because by the time the seventh thunder sounds, salvation is over. So that group of people, they are wrong. Secondly, another ministry says they are John ministry. What is John ministry? This is it from verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. Take it and do what? Eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Thou must prophesy again. And the young man here in Lagos is saying that John there, John is dead and gone, that there will be a man that God will raise to fulfill that scripture, and that he is the one. It is another error. The reason is this. John ministry starts only after the thunders have sounded. And this same man does not believe that the thunder has sounded. He even wrote a book to challenge those who say the thunders have sounded years back. The same him again have come up now, that now he is the John. And all the confusion is settled among the few people that are following him there. It is another error. And he says that thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings, if anybody at all would have even made any claim, I would have been the one to make the claim. Am I not prophesying unto many nations, to many tongues, to kings? It's a lie, nothing like that. Nothing like that. I am saying this so that everybody, you hear it, and then you go and listen to them, and if what they are saying is reasonable, and you think we are wrong, go and join them till we see in the rapture. But I have an obligation to tell you, there is nothing like that. Church, this settles the matter that there is no more salvation when the seven thunders sound. And that God is giving the people Holy Ghost in June. God gave some people Holy Ghost here. Hallelujah. Two Fridays ago, God gave a man watching us the Holy Ghost. God gave the Nolungas in Ireland the Holy Ghost watching us. If the thunder sound, no more Holy Ghost. Catch it. And joint ministry is not in a backyard somewhere. What is joint ministry? Seven thunder sound. A quick and short and powerful work with God to do. What will he do? You see the revelation of the seven thunders. Because of what we know. All these barriers that we have in the entire message today. All those barriers will go off. We will come together. And John ministry. John is an apostle of love. And the capstone that caps the message in her fullness for homegoing is divine love coming to cap, to bring about the seven virtues. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The completion of that building of the temple of God, the capstone is love. All it is capped up with love. Praise the Lord. And where there is love, God will move among the people. And that is the period that God will use his bride worldwide and shake the earth again. And let them know that he has a bride. That is the John ministry. It is not a one-man ministry. It is a move of God among his bride just before the rapture. After the John ministry, the quick and powerful work he does, the next stage is the third stage. The trump of God. The trump of God is the trump for resurrection. It is also another voice. He went to the grave of Lazarus and shouted, "Lazarus, come forth." Remember, he is the resurrection and the life. That day, everyone will hear his or her name. It is only when you hear your name that you receive that quickening power. The twinkle of an eye, you'll be changed. The dead in Christ, they will hear their names and come out of the graves. And we who are living, in the twinkle of an eye, we shall change. We shall meet the Lord in the air. That is the rapture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you will be in the rapture, let me see your hand up. That is your hope. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the resurrection. That is the first resurrection. And that is the last stage of... Let me say. That is the second stage of the three resurrections that make up the first resurrection. I don't know if you understand what I mean. The first resurrection is made up of three stages. Matthew 27, when Jesus Christ came out of the grave, the graves were open and the saints that were there came out, and for 40 days, the Bible said they were seen. He took them up to paradise and kept them there waiting for us. The second resurrection is the one we are expecting now. And the third resurrection is the resurrection that will wake the foolish virgins to join us praise the Lord, before the millennium will start. They all make up the first resurrection. And anybody that does not come out of this first resurrection, according to Revelation chapter 20, you remain in the ground there for the next 1,000 years. The next time you are coming out is to face judgment, for you to know why you are going to fire, to the lake of fire. Anybody, the first resurrection is the resurrection unto life. The second resurrection is the resurrection unto damnation. That comes up at the third stage, the trump of God, the first resurrection. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And with that, salvation is over for the Gentiles. Then, God is now moving to complete that last 1 week. That last week. Remember how many weeks were given to Daniel? 70 weeks. 69 weeks ended with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross. He suspended that last 1 week to come and get a bride for himself from the Gentiles through the seven church ages that culminates in the rapture at the trump of God. Now we are in heaven. It is time now to face the Jews to complete that 1 week. That is why we say, after the rapture, how many more years before we shall come back to rule the earth? How many years? The marriage feast will last 7 years. We are there enjoying in the palace out there in heaven for 7 years, just giving testimony and thanking the Lord how we overcame and things like that. While he was doing that in the palace, he's here dealing with the Jews within the last 1 week. And a type of it is the story of Joseph. I said in the last message that Joseph is a type of Christ. Everything he went through is what Christ also went through. It foreshadowed Christ. And for us to understand this, that by the time they rejected him, his people rejected him, a Gentile nation received him and made him their king, until he occupied a position that you cannot see Pharaoh the king except you go through Joseph. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And they rejected him among his people because he was spiritual. But the Gentiles, there he went and got a wife in Egypt. A type of the bride of Jesus Christ. That the Jews rejected him, but he came and got us. Now, according to the story of Joseph, by the time he was revealing himself to his brethren to let them know that he is Joseph that they rejected. Where was his wife? In the palace. We shall be up there in heaven when he'll be revealing himself to the Jews. Aren't you happy you're part of the bride? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 9. You know, I'm not a teacher, so I go try. I go see myself, they preach instead of teaching. Well, you understand. I try. Today I say I must finish this thing. But here I'm going to divert. They talk of women when we are high heel. Women when. So me to just talk what in Bible talk. Well, I'm waiting my eye, they see that. Verse 27. Amen. Remember verse. Okay, let me just. Where we are now is verse 27 in the program. And he shall, that is the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many. For how long? That is the last 1 week. For 7 years. And in the midst of the week, how long is the middle of the week? 3.5 years. That is, after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation in that temple now to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determination shall be poured upon the desolate. Praise the Lord. Now the last 1 week is a very interesting week. A lot of things happen within that 7 years period. Remember that before that covenant is entered into, listen, something brings about that covenant to be entered into. Zechariah chapter 12, I'll give you the scriptures and just read them because of time. Read it from verse 1 to verse 8. Zechariah chapter 12, from verse 1 to verse 8. Where God is saying, he shall make Jerusalem a cup, a burdensome stone. A burdensome stone. That is, the people, nations, the whole world will burden themselves on that city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will become a focal point. And it has started, the church. Jerusalem. The Palestinians are saying it is their headquarters. But we know that it was the city of the Jebusites that David conquered. He conquered them long before and made that place his headquarters and named it Jerusalem, a city of peace. And he dwelt there and built, his son came and built the temple there. But remember that that temple was broken down. 1870. Everything was leveled down. And while they were in diaspora, they were in their dispersion like that, these Palestinians came. And of all places, to let you know that devil get hand in this matter. That same place where they built the temple is where they built their mosque. And Israel, they know better. They know that spot is a special spot. And that is where they will build their temple. And the temple, again, church, that temple that Solomon built, that same temple will be built again on that same spot. It will happen. But before it will happen, as it is, if we're looking at it, I know it looks very impossible. Ari Sharon, during his campaign one time, only visited the site. Just visited. Just go near there, go stand near the mosque. You know how many people died from the riot from the Palestinians? For him, just going around there. He just went around there. And all the Jews, one time they discovered a tunnel that was dug from far. The Jews, how many kilometers underground to get to where the temple is? They want to blow it up. The way it is now, they are having all manner of conferences, all manner of meetings, all manner of interventions by the Americans, by everywhere, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It has started. That will bring about some battles. Praise the Lord. That will bring about some battles. There are some wars that will be taking place. Remember that right from the days of Joshua, every inch of land they got in the promised land, they fought for it. And even now, as they came, remember, they came with trick. After the United Nations granted them their land to go back to their homeland, they came there and one by one they were buying the land small from the local Palestinians. By the time the Palestinians realized what was happening, the people had already taken a good number of them there, the Jews. Then it came back to that popular war that God showed them that the God of Jehoshaphat is still alive. The war that lasted 6 days. And when Jordan, Egypt, and all those surrounding countries were humiliated by these few groups of people, God came down and fought the battle for them. But why did God allow the battle? Using that, they gained more grounds. Using that, they gained more land. and occupied it. That is why they are calling them that they are something about occupation. The Palestinians say the land that they collected from them in 1967, they should give it back to them. But Israel is saying, Lila, it was our land anyway. We fought and we have collected it and it remains our own. There are wars to be fought. Especially the one in Micah. Write it down. Chapter 7, verse 11. There will be a war. Zephaniah chapter 2. Read it from verse 4 to verse 15. Zephaniah. All of them, they are the miraculous war. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 14. Read also Isaiah chapter 19. Then we have Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 1 to 3. These wars are fought to regain more land. Regain more land. Amman, Jordan, in all those areas, they belong to Israel. Even a large part of Syria belong to Israel. According to what God gave Abraham. There is a battle also in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. It will be fought. And we will see it before the rapture. It is that war the Bible describes how God will come down and fight for Israel, because the king of the north, we all know, is Russia. And we know now that Russia sympathizes with the Arab world. And the Arab world does not believe that Israel should be in existence. They believe that Israel should be wiped away. And that is why they are the only nation in the Middle East, Israel, with a nuclear power. They are there. They say it's for self-defense. And the United Nations allowed them because they are living among hostile neighbors. Until today, if Israel knows that any of their neighbor, they are manufacturing or producing any weapon of mass destruction, if they know it, they go, they strike it. That's why they struck Iran some years back. When they got, Iraq. Some years back, when Saddam was manufacturing nuclear weapon, where he was hiding doing it, they used their satellite, located it. One morning, they bombed that place and scattered that place and came back to base. They have the best security network because they are dwelling in the midst of foes. Every one of them is armed. Every youth today goes through military training. Only Israel, you are allowed, every adult, you are allowed to carry weapon and walk about with it. Self-defense. Because you know that they are in the midst of serious enemies that do not want them to exist. Ezekiel 38:39, the king of the north will lead this Arab, Iran, Iraq, and all the rest. They will come against this tiny nation of Israel with the hope to wipe them away. But I've told you something. Watch what will happen. Because we link what we are believing will happen to what William Branham said. William Branham was given 7 visions that the Lord told him will come to pass before the rapture will strike. The last one that he said was he heard the noise of an explosion. In that vision, he said he turned and looked and he saw America blown to pieces. He saw crater. And the crater is created only when a bomb is dropped. What we then think of in our reasoning is, why will America be destroyed? Right now, the backbone of Israel is America. 2 reasons why America will be destroyed. One is that God has used America to fulfill her purpose. Yet America, that was founded on the tenets of Christianity, has become the importer and exporter of all the abominations of the world. Under the guise of freedom, liberty, they have rejected God. William Branham made the statement that if God does not judge America, then you have to wake up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize. Because worse things are happening in America now than it happened in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the reason why God will allow them to be bombed. It's their judgment. The second reason is because America is the backbone of Egypt. They have a defense pact. With Israel. You touch Israel, America will back them up. And that is why, too, the second superpower also is behind the enemies of Israel. Russia. And so, the only way for God to let the whole world know that it is not America, I am the one. They think that if they destroy America, then small, tiny Israel will have no power. So the first thing that will happen before Ezekiel 38 and 39 we start is they will turn and face America, and only God knows what they will drop there. America will be too weak to rise and fight. Then they will now march onto Israel. And that is when the God of Israel, oh glory be to God, is the mighty one in battle. El Shaddai, you are the mighty one in battle. Oh, Jehovah, you are the mighty one in battle. El Shaddai, you are the mighty one in battle. Glory to your name. Read that chapter 38 and chapter 39 Ezekiel and see what happens there. God of Israel will arise. Israel will humiliate all of them. And the battle will not last long. And the dead bodies that they will pack in that desert, it will take 7 months. They are still packing dead bodies. That is when there will be so much confusion in the world. It will be a period of confusion in the whole world. There will be the need for a new world order. There will be a need. So United Nations cannot guarantee us peace anymore. What do we have that can guarantee peace? Then they will look for the most respected institution in the whole world. The most respected man. That is where we come to verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9. Let's read it. And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That is, in the middle of the week, he will break the covenant. When he said he will establish the covenant with many for 1 week, there is many nations. He will become the head of the new world order. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. It is while these battles are going on, while all this fight is going on, in the midst there, the seven thunders will sound. The John ministry comes on. The rapture strikes. Mercy seat over. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, as there is entering the 1 week covenant, God also is within the same week that God now moves to Israel to open their eyes of understanding to accept their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He starts it with those two prophets in Revelation chapter 11. Can we read it? Revelation chapter 11. Can I fire on? Today is communion service. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We're not rushing. Today is communion service. From verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar. Let me quickly add that because of this wars that will be fought, I must add this aspect. Because of the war that will be fought, the whole world will now have respect to Israel. They will have respect to Israel. Israel will use the opportunity of that battle and knock off that temple. That is the time that temple will be knocked down. The mosque. Totally. That mosque will be knocked down. Totally. And that is when Isaiah chapter 60 verse 6 spoke about the Arab money, the Arabians, their money, they will bring it to Israel to help Israel to build their temple. When they see the God of Israel in action. So just know that by the time that the gospel is going back to Israel, the temple is already built. Because remember that the Antichrist, his motive is to go to the temple and sit down there and be worshipped. And so by the time it comes, he entered that covenant, his focus is